my favorite girl is on the line.
It's Myrtle, huh?
Uh-huh.
Your buddy.
I know.
Myrtle Potter.
Love Myrtle.
All right. So for those of you who did not catch our first show with Myrtle, let me tell you a little bit about her. We call her the trusted voice in healthcare. Myrtle Potter is a woman who is running the top biotech companies in the world. Basically knew the healthcare system inside and out, had an accident, fell off a horse, injured her shoulder, had an adverse reaction to a drug she was taking. No one could figure out what was wrong with her. And basically, here's a woman who is a single mom raising two children, and the doctor walks into her room at the hospital and says, "Get your affairs in order." And in that moment, our Myrtle Potter, our beloved, Janice's beloved in particular, you get so excited, it's scary almost, was born. And Myrtle shifted her whole focus in life to helping people navigate the healthcare system. And she's on with us today with a segment all about educating us on how to acquire and utilize our medical history. Myrtle!
Hey.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, how are you?
I am so good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Please. We're so glad to have you. Janice gets soaked. Janice has got her notepad and everything all ready to roll.
I totally do.
My God, you changed our lives with the last time you were on, so we're very excited. So I want to. So today is five prescriptions you won't find in your doctor's bag. Your medical history, use your power. Why is this matter? And what does that mean? What is it? Is it just mine? Is it my family? Explain.
Well, it actually is. It's for you. It's for your family. It's for anybody that you play a role in providing care to.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that is quickly becoming apparent, Jillian and Janice, is that modern medicine has become so sophisticated that doctors can tell so much by knowing more about your medical history. So I actually think it's more powerful than getting genetic tests that might be predictive in some areas. Some
really?
Genetic tests are great.
Okay.
But the basic number one place to start is understanding your medical history and use it to your benefit.
Does that mean your family's history as well, or you just mean you solo?
It absolutely means your family history, and I can't stress that enough.
Okay.
And one of the things we'll talk about in a minute is even the importance of going back one and two generations to get this family history. It can be so predictive about the kinds of things that you might or may not be at risk for, and actually helps you help your doctor take care of you by giving him or her more insight than he would have if he didn't have the information.
Okay. So where do we start?
Well, I always like to start with your medical records.
Okay.
Having an understanding of what is actually in your medical records is really important. You know, we go to the doctor, we go in, we sit down on the examining table, he examines us, and before you know it, he's either pulled up a screen on a computer or pulled out a manila folder.
Right.
And he starts to scribble. Well, I don't know about you, but until I went through my horrific healthcare situation, I actually never asked to see what the doctors were writing down when they were writing in those folders.
I'm ashamed to say that I never have.
I don't think most people have. And here's why it's important. Number one, you do want to understand what it is that's being written.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it actually gives you greater insight into how he's reaching his conclusions,
okay,
how he's reaching his assumptions, and it also gives you the opportunity to understand and make certain that what's being written down is actually accurate. And in fact, I will tell anybody that the most important thing in your records are those little notes the doctor's writing. We
really?
Think about the lab results. We think about test results.
Yeah.
But those narrative notes are really important. And so I really encourage consumers to understand what's in their records and then also make sure you know how to go about getting a copy of those records.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, there are things, I'm trying to think back to, like, I remember the first time I had an ovarian cyst break. I was somewhere around 15 or 16, and I remember I went to a hospital somewhere in the valley. My mom picked me up in the middle of the night, and I've often wanted to know more about that because I was a kid. I don't remember how old I was exactly. I don't remember anything that they wrote down, and doctors have wanted to know that information, and I just don't have it. I don't recall when it, you know, any of that stuff. How would... I mean, can you even access things that are that old, or is it just you better ask now from the doctor you're seeing now? Is the old stuff gone forever? Like, what do we do?
So oftentimes old records are tossed.
Ugh, okay.
Although I say often, but it's not always.
Okay.
I think in your case it would be worth it to go back to those doctors and make a request.
Okay.
And in fact, making a request is really easy. I first start out with a list of every doctor I've ever been to.
Okay.
And then you simply put a request in writing and send it to a physician's office and state your name, your date of birth, your address, your Social Security number, and the form in which you'd like to get your records. Do you want Xerox copies? Do you want them scanned? Or do you want them put onto a thumb drive and sent to you? Some offices will actually do that.
Okay.
And as long as you are authorized to get access to those records will be provided to you. Now, each of us individually has access to our own records. There are sometimes exceptions where physicians won't want to release them. For example, if there's someone with a psychiatric disorder,
okay,
and a physician might believe that in reading the record, the patient might do themselves harm. But that is a rare, rare, rare case. 99% of us, we can get access to our records.
And so you basically just provide proof of your identity.
Yeah.
And then all of that. Will you repeat just one more time in case what exactly you need to write down? You said name, age, what was it?
Yes.
Because now I was...
Yes.
I
and
my
here,
pen
and
ready.
Here, it's really simple. I'll even tell you what the letter says. The letter says, "Dear Dr. Smith,
okay,
I am requesting a copy of my medical records. This is my name. This is my date of birth. This is my address. This is my Social Security number.
Got it.
This is where I'd like you to send my records.
Okay.
And this is the form I'd like you to send them in. Paper, email them to me, scan them to me, put them on this enclosed thumb drive. Provide them with a thumb drive."
Okay, got it.
Yes. Now, here's another really important point. I actually ended up helping someone a couple of months ago who was actually having difficulty getting her records because her physician literally refused to send them. And we had to help her step up the noise on this doctor a little bit. But this is what I want everyone to know. Most states have legislation that requires that your doctor provide you those records within 30 days.
Really?
Yes. You have the
wow.
right. You have the right to your own medical record. And I recommend that everyone keep a copy of their own medical records. You just never know when you're going to need to turn those records over to someone to take care of you in an urgent situation.
Okay. Okay. What is there a consequence if they don't? Can you report them somewhere if they don't give them to you in 30 days?
Absolutely.
Though that's when we call you and your company and you
listen,
you get heavy on them.
That's when you call me, and,
right,
and that's when you call up the chain in your insurance company.
Oh.
You know, lodge a complaint.
Okay.
But the bottom line is that you can get your medical records. They belong to you.
Got it.
They belong to you. Now, some physicians may charge you a nominal fee for getting these records. I personally have never paid more than $20 getting copies of mine.
Got it.
But they may charge a fee just because it costs for them to do the copying and
the shipping,
mailing, etc.
Right.
But it's a really small price for a very powerful tool.
Now, when you say be your own life archivist, what do you mean?
Yes, I want everyone to take a copy of those medical records, and I want them to do three things with them.
Okay.
I want them to check them for accuracy.
What if they're not accurate? That's actually, I got a question about that because I've been doing all kinds of stuff for life insurance. You know, if I die, my business partner comes into a lot of money if I die. You know, and I worry, they say, you know, do you have any of these conditions? Do you have any of that conditions? Have you ever had this or that? And there was something in one of my records that said I had a heart murmur. I've never had a heart murmur. I was like, no, that's wrong. I have never, ever had a heart murmur, ever. You can, you know, check me, do what you need to do. But what do you do if they've got something wrong in there? Because isn't that stuff accessible to all insurance companies?
It's accessible to your insurance company.
Okay.
Generally, when you go into a physician's office and you accept your insurance company's conditions for insuring you and covering your cost, you're also providing the insurance company access to your records. So
okay.
If there's something in your record that is not correct, I would do two things. Number one, I would write a note to the physician
okay.
who's responsible for the error, really simple. Dear Dr. Smith, I reviewed my records. On this date, it stated I have a heart murmur. I'm writing to inform you that this is incorrect.
Okay.
I don't have a heart murmur. I've never had a heart murmur. Please call me if you have any
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I was like, where the hell did this come from? I mean, it was so, and then of course she listened to me and she's like, no, you don't have a heart murmur.
Exactly.
But it was so bizarre. I was, and she had said that, like, maybe he heard something or, you know, whatever. I don't know that it could have even been like a, I was using an inhaler. She's like, were you using an inhaler? And I was like, well, I was there for bronchitis. I don't even remember, but something, she thought maybe that had affected something or, but I don't even have it. You know, and you're right. I would never have known that was in my files had the insurance company not found it from the doctors that I told them, you know, who I had been seeing throughout the years. And, you know, I got to make sure that's off of there because I quite honestly did not write the guy. I was like, oh, all right,
well then the
clear
other
that
thing
up for
that
my
I would
insurance.
Do, Jillian, is I would have the physician document in your record now that you've been checked and you don't have a heart murmur.
Okay, got it.
And that way, if anything ever comes up, whether or not someone wants to give you treatment for this heart murmur you don't have, or you're being excluded from some type of treatment because of the heart murmur,
right,
you've got it documented in your file that it's gone away.
Okay.
You can also take one more step, and that is to contact your insurance company, who keeps, you know, a pretty good record of your health history. I would also contact the insurance company. All insurance companies have an 800 customer service number. Tell them what the issue is and ask them where to send the correction.
Okay. Got it. Excellent. Okay, so check for accuracy.
Check for accuracy.
Okay.
Then the next thing is, I really encourage people to get the information organized. Whether or not you organize it by physician or organize it by date, just make sure when you have it in your possession, it's not sitting in five different places in your house. Because when you need your medical records, you're generally needing them right away. There's no time to organize
yeah.
And oh God, where did I put, which shoebox did I put that in?
So
I would put them all together, wrap a rubber band around them, and find a home for these records.
Okay.
If they're paper. Even better than that, because paper can always be damaged, you can always have a fire in your home, even better than that is get them transferred and put in an electronic form. And a Kinko's will do that. Not that I'm pushing Kinko's. Any copy center can do that for you.
Okay. That's actually really clever. Very clever. So organize them and make them readily accessible.
Yes. And then the next thing I ask the people do is make sure that in these medical records, you have two things. You have all of your current medications. Even if you haven't been to a physician recently, list all your medications, list all of your supplements. We talked about this a little bit before
you mentioned
when we talked about carrying it with you.
Yep.
You also want that current list sitting in those files, just in case that file has to speak for you when you cannot. And then lastly, I really encourage people to know their family medical history. And that's really my prescription number four.
Okay. I got a question for you about this.
Yeah.
So, for example, my mom, both of her parents smoked. Both of them died from lung cancer. Obviously, I don't smoke. And quite frankly, because I watched both of them die from lung cancer, I never even fooled around with it as a kid. I was so pissed about it because I love my grandmother dearly. However, if there's an extenuating circumstance Because then I look at that and I'm like, this is not a genetic marker. I don't smoke. They smoked. That's why they died of lung cancer. Are there certain things that we can rule out? Or should I still be looking at that as though I could potentially be susceptible? Like if somebody was an alcoholic or if somebody, you know, where do you kind of disseminate this was an impact of nurture, you know, the environment, and this is nature? Is there a line, or you just need to know unilaterally and heed that concern?
So I think that's a great question. In terms of documenting your family history, I literally list everything.
Real? Okay.
And part of the medical history in this example, a good form will ask, did your parents smoke? Did they have high blood pressure, et cetera, et cetera?
Right.
Because there are environmental things, there are lifestyle things, and then there are genetic factors. So I encourage everyone to write down everything, but then make absolutely certain that it's known that you had a parent that was a heavy drinker if they died of cirrhosis of the liver.
Gotcha.
That you had parents who were smokers if they happened to have lung cancer.
Okay. Okay.
This is one area, this medical history piece and your own medical history piece, where my counsel is to omit nothing.
Wow.
The smallest little thing can be so instructive and so helpful, especially given these times when physicians don't have as much time to spend with you as they used to. Every little insight, every little clue you can help by giving them really helps them do their job better.
Okay. All right, then. That's good to know, because there are certain things like that I always, especially because I've been seeing nothing but doctors lately, whether it's the adoption or whether it's getting insurance to be on set and do television,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's life insurance policies. I mean, I've been living at the friggin' doctor, and this is where it's like, what's your medical history? How do we get your records? What doctors have you seen? You know, and then it's, you know, what did your grandparents die of? And I think, do I really have to say cancer? Because then they're going to look at me and go, oh, she's a risk when they smoked. But
if you ever have to write down cancer and you knew your parents smoked or your grandparents smoked, I write down mother, you know, cancer in your family, yes, who, mother. And right beside it, even if there's not a blank for it, I will write in, mother was a heavy smoker.
Understood. Good. All right, great.
Because
there's not a little thing where it's like, did they, lung cancer, question, sidebar, did they smoke? Like, it's not there.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Julian, you just made me think of something else.
Oh, well, good.
Some of these forms, and so I hear what you're saying in terms of what you're going through, visiting all these doctors.
Ugh.
Some of these forms are not complete. Many of the forms differ one to another.
Right.
So I keep a copy of my own form that I have, so that when I go to the doctor, I'm not trying to remember when what date exactly was it when I had my shoulder accident? I don't remember the date.
Right.
So,
and then you're guessing. That's so true, because then I've been guesstimating. It's like, when were you first diagnosed with your thyroid issue? And I'm like,
exactly.
I think it was 2006.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, and then they're like, when did you get off of the biothyroid? I'm like, I think it was 2009. I mean, it's crazy. You're right.
No, it's really hard. And going to doctors are hard enough. So I keep my own medical history form. I take it with me. My parents have given me permission to keep a copy of theirs.
That's
so smart. You know, they're
so
70
smart.
And 80. I can guarantee you when they go in to see a new physician, they can't recall when it was that they had that surgery in 1950, whatever.
So, right. Exactly.
And here's the other thing I want to offer the listeners, Jillian. I have a couple of really great resources for documenting family history. I'm going to put those up on my website so that
Fantastic.
Your listeners can get access to them for free.
Speaking of, throw that in now. We'll recap it at the end of the show. But just so the website is?
It's www.myrtlepotter.com. And that's spelled MYRTLEPOTTER.com.
Awesome. So you're saying that there, because that's, I just think it's very intimidating. It's like, where do I begin? How do I get this information? So that's great. We can go to your site and you'll have information about how we begin to collect this information.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And I'll give you some of the sources are mine. Some of them are outside of me, which is fine. I don't always have the best ideas. And these will be
really
helpful,
good ideas.
And they're free.
You've got pretty great ideas. I'm pretty happy with your ideas, and I think also you're making such a good point. A friend of mine, she's 30 years old, and had no idea. This is kind of shocking. After she listened to your podcast, she went to her parents and said, you know, can you tell me a little bit about your medical history? I realize I really don't know anything about grandma and grandpa. Her dad had prostate cancer when she was young, and he beat it, but they hid it from the kids because it was so scary, and they never told them.
Oh, my God.
And now she's like, you had prostate? It wasn't prostate cancer. It was colon cancer, because she needs to get checked now at 30 years old.
Totally.
And she had no idea. Wow. And they're like, we never told you. You know, you guys were five, and it was so scary. And she's like, I have to go.
Jillian.
You know.
Oh, you just gave me goosebumps. You just gave me goosebumps.
Isn't that incredible?
So if the listeners don't do anything else, if they don't do anything else from this podcast, go to your grandparents, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, and your brothers and your sisters.
Yeah.
And ask them to share their medical history. It is the biggest gift a family can give to itself. It is the biggest gift a family can give itself.
That's so incredible. And yeah, and then she went to her doctor and he was like, well, you're 30 then. You need to get a colonoscopy by 35. She's like, what? And it's genetic in your family now.
Exactly.
You need to get checked early. You got to be mindful of this. And, you know, and then if you went through the diet, are you getting enough fiber? Are you making sure you're doing this? You got to look
out
for that.
Absolutely.
And she never would have even had any idea. No idea had she not listened to that podcast and talked to her parents.
Oh,
isn't that wild?
My goodness.
I think
of
the secrets that families keep from each other, thinking they're doing each other a favor, because it's like, I don't want to scare you that I have high. I mean, my dad's mom, here's another one. My dad's mom dropped dead at 66 of a heart attack. No one had any idea that she had, you know, cholesterol problems, high blood pressure, and she had been hiding it from the family. So when they went and they checked, there were all these. You know, they had the medical records, the visits, the information, but she never told anyone because she never wanted to scare anybody, and then had a massive heart attack and dropped dead at 66 years old.
Oh, my goodness. That's just heartbreaking.
So,
isn't
So that's fabulous advice. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Very welcome. And it's amazing. As I continue to talk to my parents, I learn a little bit something every single day. Sometimes it's not around health care, like my father had a security clearance when he was in the Army. You go, where did that come from?
Right, yeah.
But talking is a good thing.
Gosh, that's so true. The things that we learn about our parents. It's like, I love it. You're like, oh, you have clearance. How high was his clearance? Does he know if there's aliens? Are there UFOs?
You know what? My sisters and I were so flabbergasted by the fact that we never knew this. We just thought, oh, wow, that's kind of cool, you know?
Right.
My dad was a medic in the military, so he actually had it because he was in the Korean War.
Wow.
And there were times when he was in charge of a unit that would have had to have evacuated civilians during wartime.
How incredible.
So that was the genesis of that.
That's amazing. Gosh. All right, now, last question. You say, use it, don't lose it. Now, what does this mean?
This means use your power. Mm. Use the power of everything that you know about your family's history and your medical history to really get out there and advocate for yourself and take the steps that you need to take.
Right.
To make sure you have the resources and that you're helping those who are trying to help you. Use your voice, use your power, and follow through and make things happen.
Merle, thank you so much. Tell us again a little bit about your company and where we can find you.
You can find me at www.myrtlepotter.com. And it's a brand new website. It's a little baby website, but we're going to be growing it because we are completely committed to helping consumers navigate the complex healthcare system in our country. You know, we're not anti-healthcare system. Our healthcare system does a lot of good for us, but the system is complicated. And so we serve one purpose, and that's to help people get through it. I also, Jillian, would like to invite people to go find me on Facebook. All they have to do is put in your trusted voice in healthcare.
Excellent.
And they can find me on Facebook where we'll have lots of great content there.
Thank you, buddy. I do. I follow you.
Thank you. Follow me on Twitter.
Thank you so, so much. And you know what, guys? The next time we will have Myrtle on in the next month, we will set it up so that you can ask her questions.
Oh, that would be fun. That's great.
Yeah, get ready, Myrtle.
I'm ready.
Get yourself ready to go.
I am here to serve. I am so happy. Thank you.
Thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.